What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, Footy Prime is lewd, lascivious, salacious, and outrageous. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Truth is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
A downgrade, not in terms of quality, but in terms of size, versus when the twins were small. It was a fucking behemoth of a purse.
Still a massive purse. What's in that purse? Like, my grandma had, like, everything in her purse. Like, everything. Yeah. You needed it, boom, there it was.
And at the very bottom of your grandma's purse was a little sweet.
Yeah, exactly, wrapped up.
Yeah. Covered in us.
Like a Worthington's.
Your Worthington's, yeah. Yeah,
good out of your mouth. They were the ones that were, like, unwrapped, though.
Yeah, everything was butterscotch.
Exactly.
So what's your purse, Dubs? Can we go through your purse?
Yeah.
Got a water bottle?
Water bottle.
Is that a Stanley?
I've got notebooks.
How many notebooks do you need?
I've got a couple.
It's like three.
I wear a different hat, Charm, so I have a different notebook for different functions.
What's a Footy Prime notebook?
It's part of another notebook. It doesn't have its own notebook.
Oh, really?
That's my notes app.
Hmm. A lot of layers to Dubs. A lot of layers.
Lip gloss, highlighters.
It's like toothpaste.
Oh, my four-color pen. Mm. Never go anywhere without that.
And you have color coding for your notebooks?
No, come on, no.
So why have the four? Why have the four color pen?
This is the kicker, you guys.
Oh, we've got
not one, but two tickets from staying at Wonger's last week.
Oh, what?
Did you really? That's amazing.
You should have parked at the fish store.
That's what he told me. But like, I came into his place, chatted for like 5 minutes, and then he was like, let's move you down to like the fish market or whatever it is. And then I swear to God, like somebody who lives on the street is also the meter maid, because like within 6 minutes I had a ticket, and then Wonger's like, oh, just leave it there. You've already got a ticket. But then I got another ticket at 2 a.m. Just adding insult to injury.
I know people say, is it just people, it's an honest living being a meter maid or a traffic warden, but yeah. I think they're evil. I think they're the most evil people in the world.
Yeah. They're very sneaky.
Yeah. Although about a year ago, I parked somewhere and a meter maid came up to me and she said, listen, if you keep the car there, I'm going to give you like half an hour, but then I've got to ticket you. She gave me the option, which was so cool. She was lovely, really friendly. It's around Christmas time, actually. So, so, so charitable. So they're not all evil, but it is an honest living, I suppose. So anyway, it's Footy Prime. We finished going through the contents of Dubs' massive purse.
That's right.
Most of it, yeah. Yeah. Want to go through Craig and Jimmy's massive bags?
Pardon?
No, just Wonger's massive mail sack.
Right, that's what today is. It's Wonger's whale sack edition. The final one, our last kind of live-ish podcast of the year. JC is unable to make it today. He will, of course, edit it. Wonger is currently driving from Montreal to Toronto or Ottawa to Toronto.
Ottawa, yeah.
So he might actually get to listen to this. So it's the four of us. It's Dubs, it's Jimmy, it's Craig, it's me, Shams, and you, the listener. We put it out there on YouTube on the cheesiest video we could ever possibly make. Some questions, comments. We've got a few. Quite honestly, left it a little bit late. But we had a guest plan this morning, and Victor Montaliani apologizes. He couldn't make it. He will join us, though, in the new year. So we're kind of
so he says yes.
We're kind of hustling a little bit today. It's not quite how we planned today, but that's okay. It's the last one of the year. There will be best of shows between Christmas and New Year's, I believe. Wonger and JC are working on those. Some of the more memorable interviews, I think. But yeah, who knows whether that actually gets to air or not. I'm assuming it will, but you never know. So let's get to it, shall we? Right to the comments, and we'll see where this podcast today goes. Metronomics says, we need to figure out how to keep the Whitecaps in Vancouver. Please let's discuss and figure out a solution. There has to be a solution, right, Craig? I mean, listen, this is a 50-year-old storied Canadian sports club with a great fan base, a really good team. There's a lot to like about the Whitecaps staying in Vancouver. But is it just the business of modern sports making this less likely, or are we just jumping on the negative bandwagon here and ignoring the obvious right in front of us?
No, I think there's a real threat that Vancouver could end up leaving. It's North American sports, the franchises that is North American sports. We see it happen in the biggest sport of all in North America, really, the NFL. It happens all the time. Teams move, franchises move, and it's disappointing. But I kind of hope, too, that Greg Kerfoot, with his history of the, you know, supporting of the game right through the board, especially women's football, that he does something where he wants them to stay in Vancouver if he sells them. So I'm hoping for that.
The check says it all, though, right? Let's be honest here. That's what it comes down to.
I wonder if it has anything to do. I know he is going through a divorce. I don't know if that's still ongoing or whatever, whether that has something to do with selling assets or where they stands with that.
Well, that's why Noel and Liam Gallagher got back together for Oasis, right? Because Noel's just coming off a very messy, very expensive divorce. He said it himself.
Are they going to sell Oasis? They selling their franchise?
Yeah, going to sell their franchise. They are basically, right? There's world tour next year. Okay, Dubs, so is that angel out there? That it's got to be a billionaire. Is he out there in Canada who will keep it in Vancouver? If you're going to bet, I know you're the betting type, Dubs, where would you spend your money? Are Vancouver playing in Canada in a couple of years' time, or are they elsewhere?
I'm going to say, and this is maybe naive, but I'm going to say that they stay in Canada. I mean, let's remember they just celebrated their 50th anniversary, right, of a club. So like they're rooted there. They've got support there. I think in a league that's been around for what, 30 years, like they, yeah, ish.
Yeah, 96, right? 96?
Yeah. 96. So you have a franchise that's been around longer than that. I think that you respect that and you kind of pay homage to it. I know business is business, but I think it's a great city, and I think it's a great city for football. I think you benefit or you kind of capitalize on that. And I don't think taking it out of the city is the way to go. Did you guys see that Schuster was posed the question about the next coach, and they're just waiting on work permits. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it won't be somebody promoted from within the Canadian game. It's somebody who's coming in as a foreigner to assume those head coaching duties. So it'll be interesting to see how that head coach aligns with Schuster and what they want to implement there. And then if that influences, you know, the people who might be attracted to coming into Vancouver and building on what they already have. That's what I hope that that this person does.
Although, Jimmy, to be a bit of a cynic here, if you're a would-be candidate and you're contemplating an offer from Vancouver and you think, well, yeah, but they could move to the States in a couple of years' time, maybe it's not the worst thing for that coach to get into the States as well. So we keep saying the instability of Vancouver might ward off some potential candidates. But really, you don't often see the coach getting fired just because the team changes locations, right? And ending up in the States isn't like, you know, you're going to some hellfire somewhere. You're going to the States.
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult one because the club's up for sale. They're going to bring in a manager. And sometimes when new ownership comes in, they've got their own manager that they want to put in place. So really, there's a bit of uncertainty there for whatever manager comes in at the moment. You know, does a team stay in Vancouver? Is it going to get moved when they get taken over? Are they going to bring in their own coaching staff? And there is a lot of uncertainties, especially right now at the moment. So, you know, I think it'd be a hard decision for whoever is going to take that job at the moment. I know I probably wouldn't be taking that job because you have no idea what's going to happen or where the team's going to go and what the next ownership group's going to do.
What worries me is it could be a sweet deal down in the state somewhere where the taxpayers pay for a stadium and they just roll out the red carpet for the ownership group, concessions, everything goes to them, which we won't get in Canada. That will not happen in Vancouver. So the new owners come along, put some pressure politically on the groups to try to get a stadium built in Vancouver. If that doesn't work out, something sweet will happen in the United States for them. And I don't think MLS really care if they moved them down to the state somewhere. I don't think they really care. Not now.
Like a Vegas or something. I mean, really, whoever's going to buy the club, you're buying a franchise. You're not buying assets. There's no training facility that you're buying. Yeah. You're not buying a stadium.
That's a killer, right?
That's a killer. So you buy the franchise, and then that's where you start dealing maybe with municipalities down in the States, trying to get a JV put together with the municipality and the ownership group and build your stadium and training facility.
That's the big missing piece, right? Like, as you're saying, like, it's your franchise, no assets. Like, I wonder if that's a caveat to the deal, because the Kerfoot and Nash and those owners, for legacy reasons and family reasons are looking to unload the franchise. But they want it to stay in Vancouver. So I wonder if that's like a catch. And I know they can't mandate in the sale that the new owner builds a stadium. But I mean, if they did have a place to call their own, then that's the difference, right? Then of course they stay. That's really the big missing piece.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of probably USL teams at the moment that are in a good position, got their own stadiums, have a great fan base, are probably chomping at the bit trying to get a hold of this Vancouver franchise to bring it to their city.
I think that's sadly the reality is that, yeah, in a perfect world, I'm sure all the owners would love to keep it in Canada, right? But we know that money isn't in Canadian soccer right now. There aren't billionaires just waiting to throw money at Canadian football. We wish there was. But at this point, I don't know who they are. Ricochu actually asked, how do we get soccer-specific stadiums built in this country to support the CPL and maybe NSL expansion? And it all comes down to the stadiums, right? Canada hasn't got very many stadiums in any sport. It's not just soccer. We don't have the facilities. That's why we have, Vancouver and Toronto hosting games at the World Cup, right? And no one else, because there aren't really suitable stadiums of the right size throughout the country. That's why the NFL isn't here yet. It will be at some point. And you know what? They're going to build a big stadium, because right now we haven't got that. So how do we get soccer-specific stadiums?
Good luck.
I don't know.
There's the answer, right? It's so hard.
Yeah, it's a big ask for any owner of the NSL or Major League Soccer or CPL. It's an added cost and expense to go out there and drop a few million bucks on the stadium as well.
I'm getting inundated on my social feeds with these companies who build stadiums. I'm not sure if you guys are as well. These so-called temporary stadiums, but they can last a few years.
Yeah,
and they're not that modular stadiums, right? Yeah. And they're not actually that expensive in the grand scheme of things. You're dropping, a few hundred million on a club, potentially not a CPL club, obviously, but a large amount on a club. You can put together a stadium if you can find the land pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that world is changing somewhat. I don't need a big flash stadium. I really don't personally.
Vancouver was at Empire, when they went there temporarily before moving over to BC Place, that was a great setup. That was a really, really great setup for football. Ideal location.
Well, Wanderers are trying, aren't they? They're trying to get there. I'm not sure where that's at right now. There's a lot of pushback from certain morons. They probably have really good reasons, but they're still morons.
It's almost like you need somebody to come in with deep pockets who doesn't give a fuck, who doesn't need the help of the municipality, of the local government or the federal government, the provincial government, whatever it is. Mm. We know it's an issue. We know how difficult it is. We want to call ourselves a sporting nation, a soccer nation, but we don't have the support of the government that injects money, whether it's grassroots sports or elite sports or pro sports. You just don't have that support. So somebody has to go it alone. And we know that we're risk averse as Canadians. So we need somebody else. We need somebody to come out of country, a foreigner to come in and to say, this is important. and to go it alone and to set the standard, to set the example. And then maybe you get mayors, maybe then you get municipalities, you get provinces, you get the federal government that sees the potential, not only for the team existing kind of singularly, but then everything that it means for the community that you can build around that. And it's almost like you need that step, like Montreal. Like you didn't mention Montreal in hosting the World Cup because the mayor and the government didn't want to do it. It was going to cost too much money. And you have Stade Saputo, which to me is the best grass stadium mm-hmm. in this country. Sorry, Gmo. Sorry, Jimmy and BMO.
Jimmy.
It is. And I know it needs to be modernized. It needs to be updated. But it's a fucking great stadium. And they didn't take a chance on it because of the potential costs. And I understand that as well. But like it's would have been great for this budding or this existing soccer community, not even budding. Like it's a well-established soccer community in Montreal. And it kind of gets left behind in all of this discussion because, again, you don't want to take the risk. You don't want to invest the money. And it's such a sad sort of state that we're in Canada with this World Cup looming. And we don't want to pony up the cash, just risk it. And then maybe your return is greater, or maybe you do suffer some losses, but there are things to be gained that's more than just your bottom line.
Hmm. Other countries have benefactors that just step in with all this money, right? Because they love the game. It does happen. And it would happen over here if it was played on ice, probably. But I just don't know if we're there yet, you know, with soccer. I mean, we're talking about the national training center, and that may be including a stadium as well, a 5,000, 10,000 capacity stadium to play games. That would be a solution potentially for Vancouver, but we know that center's not going out to BC. It's going to be in the GTA somewhere, right? But that would be a potential solution, I suppose. But I think, like you said before, that the lack of assets in Vancouver, that's the killer here. Because it's so much easier to just move it south, and Vegas is the one that keeps being mentioned over and over again. Jimmy, though, it would mean, I mean, for the CPL, they listen, you don't want to see any clubs leave Canada in any capacity, any league, any level. But if Vancouver wants to, the Whitecaps were to leave MLS in Canada, that might open the door for a CPL. It might not be the worst thing for the CPL, right?
No, I'm sure they're probably looking at it thinking if the Whitecaps do leave, I mean, the name's not going anywhere. The Vancouver Whitecap name will still be in Vancouver. And I think the CPL would be looking, thinking, well, we would love to have the Whitecaps in our league. So then again, it's up to an investor. Maybe, I don't know whether Kerfoot would look at it, because right now he's invested in the women's league, and maybe it might be an opportunity for him to put a team in the Canadian Premier League as well.
I mean, he did start as a sort of putting investments into the 86ers, didn't he, back in the day? So he was all about more community and supporting community than he was really a football fan at that time. So maybe that possibility could exist.
Sorry, Forrest. Where does Vancouver's MLS Next Pro team play?
Don't know.
So, I mean, instead of thinking a one or the other, or, you know, Kerfoot's extracting himself from MLS investment, he's still involved in NSL investment, why could he not buy a CPL team? Like, why are we not thinking bigger? Why are we not thinking owners of Rise, owners of Vancouver FC or a CPL franchise, Vancouver Whitecaps, but maybe not the first team, but maybe your MLS Next Pro team? Then maybe an 8,000 capacity stadium makes sense, and everybody chips in and everybody uses it.
Swan God Dubs, they play with Swan God.
Okay. And I think the Rise were talking about Swan Guard being an opportunity, but I don't believe they've announced where they're going to be playing as their home stadium yet.
Hmm. It's a nice location, Swan Guard, but it's not the best football stadium. I mean, there's a track and mm-hmm. it's a long ways away, and it is what it is, I guess.
But it's existing.
There's enough football coming to that region, right, currently, to satisfy, you think, a stadium, right? It doesn't need to be 50,000. Not even close. Like BMO started about 20, just under 20,000, didn't it? They've expanded, obviously. What's Saputo, Dubs?
Saputo is just under 20 grand now.
Yeah. It's a good number.
Mm-hmm.
the cost of land in Vancouver.
That's highest in the world, isn't it? I think that's Vancouver and Sydney, I think. It's ridiculous. I'm going to buy a house out there. Good luck. Plus, I fear for Asa Rahman, our boy. Asa needs to be calling football. He does a great, great job. He should be calling football.
Some a lot of jobs in this in the game in Vancouver, not just broadcasting.
You're right. I tell you what, though, from a selfish standpoint, seeing the name Whitecaps in the CPL would be pretty freaking cool, wouldn't it? Optically, it'd be amazing. You don't want to see them leave MLS. I'm not saying that, but I wonder, would those fans of Vancouver, maybe we can hear from Whitecaps fans, if your team leaves, you know, God forbid, would you then support Vancouver FC Pacific? Are you going to support the CPL? There's still football out there. Good football. Going somewhere. Growing something. Would you then turn your attention to Vancouver? Many of you already do, but many don't. So tell us, Vancouver fans. Tell us.
And I know there are different factions of fans, almost like you're more traditionalist and then you're more modern fan where you embrace the culture of football and you maybe have a couple of different teams depending what league they play in. Right? Like I'm thinking about Montreal. Like I'm a Habs fan, but I also support the Rocket and I follow CF Montreal. Montreal.
You're a bum.
Support CF Montreal. If there was a CPL team here, I would also support the CPL. I'm going to support the Roses. Like I think that there's room for all that, but then like the traditional fan almost looks down their nose at that, you know, and there's the gatekeeping around the fandom.
Oh, there's so much bullshit around the CPL people I speak to who are apparently football fans who have never been to a CPL game in their lives and they ridicule it. Like, shut up. Give it a chance. And it's ours. It's growing. It's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no time for those people, honestly. And I tell them that to their face and I walk away. I'm not going to waste my time with you. I walk away.
Yeah, make sure you give me 30 minutes before you give me a ticket. And go support your local team.
I think she could be a CPL fan.
Maybe.
There should be like, you know, they have like services nights at sports events, right? They should have like a traffic warden night at football stadiums.
Yeah, they might be kinder.
Put them at the end in the little lady away section. The abuse going back and forth. That'd be brilliant. All right, should we move on to another question? Have we satisfied the thirst for that about Vancouver? I think we have. Anything other comments? No? Okay. So here's from Michael Hull, 7196. Craig is featured in the Australian Soccer November 16 documentary. At the 43:45 minute mark, the hero of Footy Prime is shown talking to Mark Schwarzer. What was being said? Do you know Craig? Are you aware of this?
Oh, is that when we played in Sydney?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because Schwarzer was playing for Australia at that time.
Did you know Mark Schwarzer well?
Not well, but just coming across and playing against him in the Premier League and internationally. But not well, but solid goalkeeper, man. He was around for a long time.
Do you find that? Okay, so when you're playing whoever it's going to be, as a goalkeeper, would at some point you find time to, you know, have some small talk with the opposing keeper in the tunnel or after the game? You would. Now, what would that conversation be about?
It all depends. North American guys like Casey Keller and Friedel and stuff like that, it would discuss what's going on in CONCACAF and how Canada always gets screwed.
What are your thoughts, guys?
Yeah,
yeah. Right, Craig. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So skip the small talk and straight to what's going on in CONCACAF? Yeah. Not how's the family? How's it going?
Well, there's that. There's that. Good guys. Brad Friedel was a super guy.
Probably still is.
Yeah, he still is.
Yeah. Probably not dead.
No.
All these guys, they were great. Those guys still alive. We should get them on the show at some point. Walk the phones, Craig. So what about you two? Jimmy, when you were doing a match, the opposing number? You know, would you just have – what kind of chatter would you have on the pitch before the match? Or were you one? No, I won't talk to the enemy before the game.
No, sometimes you do end up having a little chat, because if you're playing against a guy over the last number of years, you start to know each other quite well. And it's small talk, isn't it? It's not like you sit, the match is going on and you two are just standing there having a conversation. You know, how was last night? Did you go on the weekend? But
I think nowadays it's a lot friendlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, yeah.
I think those rivalries back in the day were excellent. The passion was great. I don't think you see it quite the same now. These guys are playing internationally together. They're exchanging jerseys after the match. It's just, it's very, very comfortable as opposed to back in the day.
Well, it's down like sponsorship lines too, right, Dubs, I imagine, nowadays. You know, if you're a Puma guy, there's probably Puma events in the summertime. You get to know people, you know. Do you miss, Dubs, do you miss the hatred in the sport? Do you need that, more of that? You know, you see some of those old 80s, 90s videos of the Premier League, you know, in the tunnel. There's some great Roy Keane ones, for example, right? And it's just like, there's that edginess. There's something there. And I'm sure it happens to a certain degree now. But it seems pretty friendly, doesn't it?
No, watch,
we need
Wolves.
More hate.
Watch Wolves at the moment.
That's
they
right.
Don't have a scrap.
They do, yeah. After every game, it seems, right?
Yeah,
hey, they got to win.
They don't have many friends.
They got to win, though, so less scrappy after that one in the handshakes.
Yeah,
no, it was different, though. Like, especially the women's game, like, because there was no crossover in club. You know, it was the amount of times that you would see one another internationally. So with the U.S. team, it was absolute hatred, and it was like a little bit kind of embarrassment, you know, that you wanted to go out there and as a Canadian, like, prove yourself and not be shown up. And then I remember when Karina came in and she kind of changed everything. And I remember like talking to her once, like, Karina, why are you so friendly? Why are you talking to them? But like, she was a little bit younger and she had grown up watching those guys that we were, I mean, I was only on the national team 2 or 3 years before she made her debut, but she just came in with a fresh perspective and saw them as heroes and as idols, and was able to toe that line where there was that respect, but then also whenever the whistle blew, then she was like in it, obviously to win. But then like the banter and the friendliness and everything, that was something I was like, what are you doing? Like, how can you do that? Because I couldn't do that. And then now it's completely changed because there's the familiarity of maybe playing with somebody from another national team at your club, and you build those relationships, which is really cool. And then you can still have the rivalries, and you can still have the vitriol, you can still have the hatred when it's on pitch. But it's all a little bit more maybe civilized than it was.
I think it's happening right across the board in the sports. The NBA ratings are down. I think the NHL ratings are down. And you kind of wonder whether that's you're losing that competitiveness and that passion and emotion that I think people really got used to enjoying and seeing. And you don't see that in the NBA anymore.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the expression familiarity breeds contempt? And it feels like in sports, it's the opposite.
Mm. Although with ratings, I mean, maybe there's just too much sports out there available now, and that's why the ratings are down. Although they're signing bigger deals than ever across the board for broadcasting, right? So
that broadcasting deal, NBA deal, massive.
Oh my, it's just enormous.
Yeah.
So there's something there still. We should be hearing about Canada soon with the Prem. I think should be any time now.
With the what?
Fubo's, with the rights, with the Fubo's rights, retained it, yeah. Or yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, well, Dubs, Netflix. Netflix?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have Netflix. The Women's World Cup next, well, two of them.
Two of
back
them.
Back.
27 and 31.
That's an enormous moment, I think, in broadcast sports.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the first time Netflix have gone in that heavy on a deal. And for women's soccer, for FIFA to realize, man, this is where it's going. I think it could be a win because everyone's got Netflix.
Yeah.
Everyone. When you go into Netflix during those tournaments, just, you know, to watch, I don't know, whatever you're going to watch on Netflix, some bullshit reality TV, you're going to see Women's World Cup all over your landing screen. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
Yeah.
And all the peripheral programming around it. Dubs, I hope you're getting your reel dusted off.
No, I've not.
Well, you bloody well should.
Okay.
What does that deal look like on Netflix?
The dollars and cents with it, I'm not sure. Sure, I'll have a look, you can check. But like, I'm seeing kind of both, right? Like people are in one camp or in the other where they're like, well, you know, growing up, I was exposed to the Women's World Cup because I saw it on Fox or because it was on, you know, it was on linear television. And now that's not going to happen. But I think if you look at households, you look how people are consuming their sports, how they're consuming like their traditional television now, it's I think more families, at least in the US, which is where they bought the rights for the Women's World Cup for the next two, I think more families have Netflix, and it's in excess of 60%, than have traditional cable. So, I mean, that's the way into households. That's the way into changing minds, into exposure, right? Into getting eyeballs on the game and to really building it rather than saying, no, like, you know, blinkers on and this isn't the approach that you need. Like, I think Netflix wants to splash a whole lot of money on it. And then I think it's, as Sharm says, it's like you turn it on, whether it's for kids programming or for a documentary or whatever it is that you're onto Netflix for, it's going to be right in front of people, which is really exciting.
So they're showing all the games?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting how they package it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it says in addition to the matches, the streamer will supplement coverage with studio shows and commentary and entertainment by top-tier talent in the lead-up to the tournament. Netflix will produce exclusive documentary programming, spotlighting the top players and journeys. So, yeah, they're going to do the whole package around it. Mm. I mean, I watch more Netflix than anything. How much, what do I watch? I'm trying to think of network TV. What do I watch? I watch sports still because it's there, obviously. And news occasionally, less and less. that's it. I don't watch network TV.
No.
I'm not alone there. I stream pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's a change.
We still have it though. We still have it though because of sports. We can't, yeah, because we need the live sports.
I may not have an IPTV. Preference,
but also for our respective jobs. Like JP needs to be able to watch every Habs game or every Rocket game, and you can't get it like on a streaming platform. I mean, that time might be coming, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the amount. I can't find the amount here.
It's just so much, like so much streaming. I mean, when you look at it with sports, the way this is going now with Amazon, and now you got Netflix taking the World Cup.
Apple. And,
you know, you got DAZN, Fubo.
Fubu.
Maybe that's part of their problem.
Did I make a boo boo?
It's like me calling you Jimo before.
Fubo.
Trying to say Jimmy and Jimo.
DAZN.
You're right. It's a lot. That's the next challenge for these companies is to try and consolidate these into a package, right? I think they tried it, or they're trying it in the States right now with I think ESPN and there's a few of them. I think Paramount. I forget who else now. And I think Fubo actually is or were in court over that. But I don't know enough about it to comment. But because you're right, you could spend $100 here, $100 there. Before you know it, you're spending a couple of grand a year just on your streaming platforms to watch sports. And it's too much.
Yeah.
Right. It's way too much.
It says here, sorry, Sharms, to interrupt in the Athletic article. It says the value of the deal has not been disclosed, but FIFA has described it as landmark.
Okay. Of course they do.
Right.
But it is all changing. I mean, listen, hockey, the hockey deal is up after next year. I believe, right? And that's going to be different.
Wow, 12 years, eh? 12 years.
That flu boy, eh, Craig? Remember when that first broke? It's like, oh, shit. Well, there goes our show.
Yeah, me and Jerry looked at each other and I was like, our days are numbered. There's no way they're going to be able to pay off this deal.
Well, by you know, you and Jerry's salaries, they got a fair bit back. You know, gonna be a few mil there, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's all changing. I mean, Amazon is showing Monday Night Hockey right now. They show football right as well. Yeah, we'll see. It's good programming, though. Quite honestly, love is good programming. So I like I like new faces. A little bit of a freshness to the broadcasts. It's good, but let's not get into that too much. All right, what's next? So we don't know what Craig said to Mark Schwarzer, but it was something along the lines of, how's life in Australia? Are you still hoping to play in the Prem? I hear Chelsea's looking for a goalkeeper, that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. I think Sax went, g'day, mate.
put a shrimp on the barbie. Pretty annoying stuff like that. Here's one for you. Oh, Kerry and Seamus, friend of the show, supporters club, mum. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because just respect Kerry Ryan. Best Christmas gift you were ever given, and the best one you ever received. Like the most creative, nailed the assignment, bought present. None of this love of a child or time with an old friend stuff. No one needs that shit. Best present or you received or gave, Dubs?
Best present I ever gave was with my family. We had, so my sister-in-law, Mary Beth Bowie, her cousin, Danao McCormick, is a fabulous artist. And she drew or she painted a painting of Sarah's old dog, who's now died, Bailey. And it was this beautiful portrait that she did. And Sarah burst into tears when she unwrapped it.
Because the dog's dead?
Well, yes, the dog had died. Yeah.
But so that's why she, it's a lovely gesture. But, I mean, it's a bit cruel too. Like you're reminding her of a dead dog all the time.
No, she adores it. He was just the best. Are you sure about that?
It would have been better if they stuffed it.
For it.
Imagine that. This is a big package. What could be in here? Rufus.
It's fucking Rufus.
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey. That'd be amazing. Oh, in a glass cabinet.
The rules of this Secret Santa are a bit rigid. Oh, no. It's just the dog. And then the best gift I ever got was being one of five kids. I'm the oldest of four girls. And the first time I ever got brand new skates was at Christmas time. And they were Orbitz. And so I was like 15 years old. And when I unwrapped those skates, it was the best present ever. Cause it was the first time I'd worn brand new skates like that were my own, that weren't inherited either from my big brother or from like a ski and skate sale in the community kind of church basement.
Are Orbitz good skates? I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they were great.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're doing the barrel jumping.
that was in the rear view mirror at that point. That's right. Seven barrels.
I can see though. I mean, I'm not being a skater, but I can see skates being pretty juicy present though. When you get those, I can just imagine. I love sporting stuff as a kid. Getting that for Christmas.
Yeah, and it's still part of what's under the Christmas tree for the kids in our household as well. It's like, you know, stuff that they want that's on their list, but it's also stuff that they need.
Yeah,
for
three
for
kids, so for you, right? And you come from a family of four, right? Five.
Five kids. Yeah. Five,
like so, generally speaking, they weren't great presents.
No. That's too many kids.
No.
Like Craig and my daughters, like just they quids in. Just one. It's like, oh yeah. Jimmy's got three as well. Probably crappy presents too. So expensive. Jesus, three of you? Whose fault's that? All right, Jimmy, what's your best gift you gave or received?
I don't think I gave great gifts. I didn't really
or receive any gift.
I didn't really receive too many good gifts.
Jimmy's going shopping today, just
then, not surprising.
But I will tell you, I did receive an awful lot of shitty gifts, especially from my brothers. Mm-hmm. And two really kind of stand out. Well, there's three, but two really stand out. My brother got me this big picture. It's probably about maybe, I'd say 5.5 feet wide, maybe by 2 feet. And it was of New York City. Okay. It was really, really cool. And I opened it up and I looked at it and I was like, wow, that's really thoughtful. And it was a picture of New York, but lit up when it was plugged in. Okay. So I was like, oh, this is brilliant. So when they left, they went back home. I was in England at the time and I stuck it up on the wall in the living room. And then my other brother bought me this, it was a big bowl. Okay. That was on these legs. And then it was covered with rocks. It lit up. And in the middle was a little ball that would turn. It was like a circular stone that would turn with water. Mm. Okay? I think you've seen them, right? The water moves the stone. Yeah. So I was like, you know, I'm going to put all this together. And I remember watching TV. I stick it up on the wall. I plug it in. And then I plugged in the other thing that Michael got me. And before you know it, with about 5 minutes in, I could hear like, and a little bit of yelling. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And I'm looking around. Well, the picture that he got me Okay, it was the sounds of New York. So you heard like people talking, you could hear like horns honking. The gift that Michael got me, that ball, well, there was like a little smoke machine in it. So the living room was covered in this smoke because there was a smoke machine. And then I got the sounds of New York going off. I was like, so I called them. I was like, where the fuck did you guys get these gifts? They're terrible. So I had to take this thing off the wall and I got rid of the smoke machine. It was filling up the living room. I couldn't even watch TV.
And then you heard the sirens in Bristol or wherever you were of the actual emergency services coming to your place.
I'm telling you, it was the worst.
Must be the painting.
Yeah.
They're pretty shitty gifts.
No, they were terrible gifts. Terrible.
Greg?
I would say the best gift I ever got, I remember I wasn't one to snoop when I was a kid, find out what was going on, what the presents were, but I did get up once. I got up really early and I don't think I was much more than 10, 11. And I went into the living room and I saw this, the hockey game, the board game. What do you call them?
Foosball?
No.
No.
They've I know what name. You're talking about. The little...
Yeah, little stand up
like table hockey or
yeah, like table hockey.
Yeah,
and I was so excited, but I couldn't do anything. I went back to bed and just laid there for a few hours, waiting for everybody to get up. I was so excited. It was the best gift ever.
Yeah, toy gifts are the best, right? When you're younger, remember Evel Knievel? He used to get those electric motorbikes, and I got about three of those in about 3 years straight because I would always just use it so much I'd break it. I just, oh God, I can still smell it. I just loved it. The little white and
Evel Knievel, stars and stripes. Snake River.
I still see it. You know, you see it pop up on Facebook, you know, some. Remember when? I get goosebumps and like nervous feelings still looking at it. It's just amazing.
I used to hate, what I did hate at Christmas time was when my kids were younger. And I think people just did it to piss you off where they would give your kids a Lego set that had over 1,000 pieces that you had to put together. And you could see them just laughing when they gave it to you. Like, here, that's for your son. Good luck.
Take care of Boxing Day in the next few days as well.
10 hours trying to build this pirate ship out of Lego.
Better than a bloody jigsaw. I'd always get jigsaws too. Like, oh, really? A jigsaw?
I didn't mind a jigsaw.
Really?
Yeah.
You should get one now, Craig. You got a table at your place, a big old 1,000-piece, 2,000-piece jigsaw.
Yeah, keep me going for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? You know the great kit that we keep seeing you in, like the retro Ipswich account, and they publish like a great save that you dug out. Like you can take stills now and you can send them to these companies and they can make you a puzzle out of it, out of like a photo. So we should take one of these photos of you in like this legendary kit and we should get like a Craig Forrest like 1,000-piece puzzle and then put up one of those stop motion cameras or something and like film you putting it together over the course of 5 days.
Just watching you put yourself together.
Yeah. Naked.
Oh, think about that for a second, guys. I mean, that might not be the best thing. Oh, Craig's doing the jigsaw naked
definitely
again.
Definitely not naked.
That last piece is stuck to your ass. You can't find it. Yeah.
He turns the table over because he can't find the last piece.
God damn it.
Forrest, I think you should take a picture of yourself bollock naked, send it off to that company, get it back, and send it to Wonger. Get him to put it together.
That would be so funny. Wouldn't that be great? You can do that, right? You can take pictures and get them into jigsaws. Or just get some scissors out and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Trying to find that last piece of the ball.
But it's just not there.
It's not there. It's true to life. This is perfect.
There's only one ball. Where's the other one?
All right. Let's get a couple more here. Here's a good one from Caveman Jr.
Caveman Jr.
What would you like to see in terms of events or promotions from Canada Soccer in 2025 to drum up support for the national team in preparation for 2026? Obviously, Canada Soccer has been criticized in the past for lack of promotions and marketing. Obviously, not that much money available. What's a good idea? I mean, for starters, you know, sponsoring a podcast would be a great idea, I think. Provide as many guests as we demand on a regular basis would be a great idea as well.
You know, allow us to be the vehicle for Canada Soccer to get as many stories and personalities out there. That's what I do.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, that's it.
I second that, but I was going to say one word. FanFest.
Yeah.
FanFest. Honestly, it's exactly what you said, but added to that from the national team perspective, whoever is hired for the women's national team, I think it's a concerted effort. Everybody doing what the men's national team and Jesse Marsh did in Montreal in the first fall window where they only had that. Who did they play again? Anyway, it's not important. They had one match instead of having the two. So they trained in Montreal and then they went into the community and they kind of connected that way. Like that is the way that you get people connected and on board and invested in individuals and in the team. And it's also a way that, and you're talking about us as a vehicle, but that in itself is getting to know the players. And then that is your vehicle for the storytelling, is getting them in the communities and finding out about their past and where they started playing club and who they've inspired. And that is how you get kind of that wheel greased for 2026.
It's easy to do as well, right? Even just small little, even events, you know, pubs, get supporters nights out, get some people out there. I see York United actually announced this season, every month, they'll be having a fan get together with, you know, people from the club to kind of just talk them through the season, what they're doing, what should be done, giving the fans a voice as well. I think it's really clever. You see it a lot in UK in football. Some great videos, actually, when things aren't going so well. They're so passionate, right, obviously. But that's important. You build that relationship between the fans and the club itself. Break down those barriers, because sports right now, you couldn't have any more distance between the fans and the actual pitch itself, just because the way the money's involved. So I think, Craig, that's important, right?
Get them together. I think it is important. Yeah. And I think we're seeing that in Major League Soccer now, why that has been so successful in the United States, because of that connection to the club and the fans, and that they feel as though they've got a voice within the club. Not sure how big that voice is, but certainly they have a say and they're at the table with the club making decisions. And I think that's massively important in modern day sports to bring fans into that realm.
And I think it's also, it's not just the windows, it's not just home matches. I think we need more home matches, whether you're the men's national team or the women's national team, as you get closer to 26 and co-hosting that World Cup. But it's also taking advantage of venues, whether it's CPL or NSL, and having a presence there. And it's not always logistically going to be possible to have a current men or women's national team player who's around. But you have somebody who's connected to the program. You have youth national team players. You have just alumni. People there. Alumni, exactly. That's an idea. And you make it less in isolation. That's been the issue in Canada for really growing the game, is that it's just everybody kind of working against one another, whether it's deliberate or by design or accidental. And I think it's just opening our arms up, making it a collective effort as we push towards this, so that once it's done, there's still stuff there to be nourished and grown.
You guys had some conversations about the Alumni Association. Has that gone any further? Are you still working on it? Is it still to be announced? Where are you at with that?
I haven't heard anything.
No?
I think it's still probably in the works and being talked about, but and it may very well be that they're speaking to other alumni. Like, we're not the only alumni, obviously, on the women's side or on the men's side. But I think it's important that becomes something that's known, that's not under cloak and dagger, and maybe exists just as a token thing to appease people, right? It really has to be something that is talked about in the media, but that the fan groups know, the Voyagers know, and that it's, again, held up. But then, so that you can leverage it, you can leverage the presence of a Craig Forrest in a community, right? Or just wandering in on Queen Street and peering into people's windows, right? Wherever he is.
You guys are modest. You guys are modest. I mean, the bottom line, you three of you are three of the best players to play for the national team ever. And you're three of the more visible players right now as well. You are. No, listen, you shake your head, Dubs, but you all are. No, and you're certainly the three of the more visible.
Maybe.
100 cap stubs. You captain the team, for Christ's sakes. Just stop. Just stop right now. Most visible players as well. So, you know, you should be targeted by any alumni group, 100%. And as should other people as well. Here's one for you. Dougie Symes, our boy. Dougie Symonite.
What's been your biggest surprise in the Prem this year? Is it the rise of Liverpool, the fall of the Manchesters, something else? Jimmy?
Yeah, Nottingham Forest. Sitting in
I wonder.
Another big win.
They're so fun to watch. I love it. That was a big surprise.
Can they?
Yes, they can. They can sustain it. They're going Champions League this year.
I can feel now they are. Fourth place right now. They're 3 points up in fifth.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Brilliant. I think the story has to be Man City, though, the fall of Man City.
Like, yeah.
The absolute collapse is just – what would that be worth to say on a bet that Man City was going to lose, what, 9 of the last 11 or something? It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see – okay, if you told me, listen, that they wouldn't win this year – this is the year they kind of take a step back. You can see that. They won 4 straight for crying out loud. It's going to happen at some point. But, yeah, the size of the fall, 27 points, you know, 6 losses in the campaign. I mean, 25 goals against in 17 games for City. They just don't control matches anymore. It's just, yeah, it's incredible. 7th place right now for City. What is that worth, I wonder, preseason?
Mm-hmm. And you could throw the Manchesters in there. I think City, I agree with Forrest, is the bigger story. But I think I was listening to the wrap-up yesterday, and I think it's the first time since like 1989 that Manchester United are in the bottom half of the table.
Yeah.
But like for me, it's less that, and it's like the Nottingham Forest, Jimmy, and it's the Fulhams, it's the Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth is in 4th place now.
Fifth?
Yeah, Bournemouth's 5th.
So, I mean, these kind of mid-table teams that we've talked about this before in this podcast, where you're not really paying attention and they might upset or they get a couple draws, but now they're kind of turning narratives on their heads, right? Where like the cities are falling, the Uniteds are really floundering. And so these other teams are able to capitalize and to take advantage, which is great to see. I think it makes it more interesting.
It does.
Yeah. And with Bournemouth, I mean, here's a club that, you know, they're talking about a new stadium, but they're not talking about building, you know, 30,000, 40,000 seater. Like, they understand where they are and what their goals are. And it has to be much different than the big markets of Manchester and Birmingham and London.
All right, 2 more for you. Sent some quick ones here. By the way, thank you for all the comments. So we can't get to them all, obviously, but they're brilliant. So we do appreciate it. I think this is our boy, Sean Whitaker. He's asking, which team would be the next to win their league title? Spurs, Manchester United, or Hearts, as compared to the Leafs, Habs, or Canucks? All right. So Spurs, United, or Hearts, closest to winning a championship. I think you can rule Hearts out just because it just doesn't happen in Scotland.
Yeah.
With Celtic and Rangers being there. It's so rare. So, sorry, Hearts, even though we don't see Hearts do well. United or Spurs? That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Who's the closest to winning? Craig?
Well, Spurs are just snake bitten, so they've got no shot. And Man U, they got deep pockets still, and they'll get it right eventually. But, I would say Manchester United before Spurs.
Dubs?
I'll say Spurs because I love the it might be arrogance, but I think it's mostly just stubbornness of Ange Postecoglou. And it's one or the other. It's either stupidity and ignorance, or it's a little bit of arrogance and determination. And I think it's the latter more than it is the former, and highly likable, and hopefully they're close because they're a team that I like to root for. But I love the all or nothing, right? It's just like we're going to win big or we're going to lose big, but we're gonna play attacking football.
Mm. I'll say this though, Jimmy. And this people will laugh at me. Jimmy can jump in here. I do think out of all those teams that I mentioned, the Leafs or the Canucks are closest to winning a championship. Is that fair to say? I think the Leafs or the Canucks are closer than either Spurs or United right now to winning something.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Agree. Elite. Even though there's some issues in the room with Vancouver right now.
What's going on there?
What's that about?
I don't know.
Is it just being publicized because it happens in teams? Not everyone gets on. Maybe that's what it is. But hey, tell you what, the Leafs are playing pretty well despite the injuries and different style of hockey this season, eh, Jimmy? Heavier. Yeah.
We'll see.
Defense will be very strong. We will.
Yeah. Regular season doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, no, Craig, I know. All right, last one for you. This is a great one. Brett, look, oh my God.
Lubkewski.
Friend of the show, contributor to wearefreeprime.com, Brett Lubkewski. Great question, actually. What does everyone want to see happen the most in 2025? The men's team win a trophy? Mm-hmm. Rian and Wales win the Euros? Or a CPL team win the Voyagers Cup?
Ooh.
I'm going to say the men win a trophy.
Oh, there's one more here for you. Sorry. Or CPL NSL expansion announced. That's the next one. Are you sticking with the CPL of the men's team winning a trophy, Craig?
Pardon me?
You're sticking, though, with the men's team winning a trophy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I want them to win a Gold Cup.
Man, me too. Dubs? Yeah, bias aside? Anti-man agenda aside?
Stop it. No, I think it's hard to say anything but that. I mean, other than that, or like that would be 1A, 1B would be a CPL team winning the Voyagers Cup. That would be great.
Would that be just because how great it's for the CPL or just how it's in the MLS team's face? They're both right.
Yes, equal parts, equal measures. Kind of knock them down a peg or two.
Let's put a bet on all four things happening. What's that going to pay? What's least likely to happen? I would say least likely is Rian and Wales winning Euros, isn't it? Right. So, okay. Rank them. Okay. So, men's team winning a trophy, Rian and Wales winning the Euros, a CPL team win the Voyagers Cup, CPL NS expansion announced. So, most likely, I would say is CPL NSL expansion, Dubs. I know CPL are pretty close.
Yeah, NSL? I would say that would be. Let's say the men winning a trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Rian getting out of their group would be a massive success for Wales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to be realistic. They're in a tough group.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, CPL winning the Voyagers Cup too. I mean, they came close to getting to the final last year. TFC's in turmoil. Vancouver, who knows?
If Vancouver moves, they got more of a chance, don't they?
That's true.
You're like really latched onto this.
Yeah.
There's 33% more chance.
Yeah. They won three in a row, Vancouver. So I guess if they move to Detroit, they can't play in that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, there were some great questions. And we are hitting the hour mark amazingly.
I know. How did we get here?
It's time to say goodbye and farewell for a few days, kids. I'm going to miss you. Maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully Santa's good to you.
Mm-hmm. Better than Jimmy's brothers were to him.
Right?
Yeah.
I want my old dog stuffed, at the very least a painting of him, so I can cry every time I see it.
Mm. I'd like to know what Jimmy's brothers got from him. That would be...
Sweet fuck all, I'm guessing.
Sweet fuck all.
Probably. Sweet fuck all.
I'll tell you this for free. It was better than what they got me.
There's my
I'm so happy we got to tell you something, tell you for free.
What do you get your brothers this year?
Sweet fuck all. A bottle of wine and a Charmin's pie. That's what they're getting.
That's a pretty nice gift.
Yeah. Not bad, actually. That's nice. A little package deal.
Yeah.
We don't buy for like each other as adults anymore.
No.
I don't want anything. I don't need anything.
Say that until together. Christmas Day happens and you're sitting there with your head down like, not one thing.
Presents and nobody got you on me because you were like, I don't want a present.
But it's not passive aggressive. I really and truly do not want one.
What about you and JP? Are you doing gifts?
No.
Really? Mm. That's sad.
No, and he usually like tries to sneak like a gift card or like something small in like my stocking. And this year I was like, please don't get me anything. But do you guys still get like that feeling of anticipation? Like even if you're up like to an ungodly hour the night before and making sure everything's good for the kids or like you're past that as an age now, but you wake up in the morning and there's that little kind of that same feeling like in your stomach that you used to get like the forest when you found the the table hockey and like you lie in bed, like really excited. Like, I think that's still there. That's why I love the holidays. It's being all together, but it's also that kind of feeling where you're buzzing on Christmas morning.
It's for the kids though, right? That's what it is. It's to see them open their presents.
That's true. But it's also usually, like everybody getting together. That's fun
usually
too.
My the feeling in my stomach on Christmas morning is usually just from the copious amounts of alcohol the night before.
Yeah. And a little domestic is always nice.
It's good.
It's usually when it happens. Yeah. Oh, boy. What were you saying, Sharon? Is you and Tony do gifts?
No, yeah, no. She's like she's the queen of like surprises, right? She always has like great presents, and it puts enormous stress on me. Right? She always finds something, right? Your birth is like, well, wow, I did not expect that, and it's always amazing. She's very good with that. She puts thought into it, and I'm just not that person. So I usually just like throw money at the situation like 2 days before, and just hope that one of these gifts I can pull it off. You know, it comes through. But yeah, that's why she puts pressure on me. And even though we say this year, let's go cheap this year, you know, we have got two cats in Christ recently, you know, always money, you know, money flowing out your ass holes these days. But I know I can't take the risk. I can't risk that she has actually got me nothing.
Mm. What have you got her this year?
Well, she listens to the podcast, so I can't say
she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
She actually is over there, so I can't actually say it right now. But she'll probably be disappointed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, nothing.
I got a Shamus Proper Pie and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jimmy and Jess, I mean, you must have got Jess something nice. You must have put some thought into that.
Yes, I did.
She's a girlfriend, not a wife.
Yeah, I got her something nice.
Craig, have you bought your cat anything?
A what?
Have you bought your cat anything?
Yeah.
Yes, isn't he? He's got he wrapped it up in everything. It's a toy mouse, isn't it?
Yeah. If they get fed, they're just happy. Every time they see a meal, it's like the first fucking meal they've ever seen or the last one they're ever going to have. They're so excited. Like, it's unbelievable.
And they eat the same shit every day.
Every day. It's like, oh, this is fantastic.
Maybe it's the cat mindset. We could learn a couple things from cats.
Yeah.
We could actually. Smart little fuckers.
Right.
All right. That's it for the show. Like I said, we'll be having some, we think, some best-ofs coming down the pipeline between now and New Year's. But we will return in the new year. I think January the 6th, I think, is our first show back because of the way New Year's falls this year.
Wow. Footy Prime Epiphany.
The what?
Footy Prime Epiphany.
The rebirth?
Well, that's January 6th, right?
Oh, is it?
The end of the 12 days of Christmas? And an epiphany?
You're asking the wrong person.
I think so. I don't know why I have these things in my brain. I think so. And we're coming back, dear listener and viewer, Footy Prime makeovers for the new year.
Oh, are we? We're doing that?
No, we're not.
No, okay. It'd be exactly the same.
Sorry, viewers.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. All right, gang. We got to go. Thank you for joining us, though, throughout the year. If not for you guys, we'd probably still do it because we are losers. And we need the satisfaction of talking to each other.
So we're signing off? Come on.
It helps having you around listening and watching. And honestly, big things come in 2025. Something I think I said in this time last year about 2024. Didn't happen. But I'm feeling better this time around for 2025. So stay tuned, everyone. Have a great Christmas holiday, wherever you celebrate. And cheers very much for listening and watching.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Happy holidays, everybody. We sure love you.
Happy holidays.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.